Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has over 120 podcasts containing information about aviation technologies and pilot experiences for general and business aviation, from home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech. Plain Talk provides information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 2,200 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years experience in the technology, telecommunications, and aviation industries. We are here at the Kitchener-Waterloo Regional Airport in Breslau, Ontario, with some really cool cats. Had the opportunity to test fly probably Canada's first certified electric airplane. And I'd like to welcome into the Plain Talk cockpit Belinda Liu, a flight instructor with the Waterloo Wellington Flight Center, and Madison Frugala. Hey, did I get that right?
Frugala.
Madison Frugala, a senior salesperson with Apex Aircraft. Welcome to the Plain Talk cockpit.
Thank you.
So I have to say, first and foremost, Belinda, thank you so much for taking me up in the Pipistrel Velis Electra. And Madison, thank you so much for arranging this flight through Apex and the Waterloo Wellington Flight Center.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure.
It was really just an outstanding opportunity. And for the Plain Talk audience, Belinda, you're a flight instructor. You have over 575 hours flying, and you got your PPL 2 years ago. What was it like jumping out of a noisy 172 into this ultra-quiet, clean, beautiful electric aircraft?
Obviously, it's very nice. With the electric engine, it's a lot quieter. So it is a bit of a different jump in a weird direction, but regardless, though, it's super nice to fly. Flies exactly like a glider. So
Powered glider,
exactly. yeah, no complaints about it. I do like it a lot.
And I recall you got 15 hours in gliders as an air cadet.
Yes, I did the glider program through the air cadets in 2019. So, yeah, this plane's very similar to how a glider flies.
What made you decide you wanted to be a commercial pilot?
Honestly, it was the air cadet program, just because they did a lot of flying, like familiarization flights through that program for free. So I would always just join in, and kind of turned out to be something I like to do.
And I suppose the, you know, as a teenager, the discipline, the mentorship, certainly getting kitted out by the military must have just really shaped your life.
Yeah, it was a good program. I do like it a lot. And it was nice to get free flight training, too. So
even
helped
better.
Me. Yeah, right before I came to Waterloo.
So what was the transition like into the Velis Electra?
It's a lot lighter than the Cessnas that we fly for flight training. So in terms of, like, moving the yoke and stuff, like, a lot smaller movements were needed compared to the Cessnas. Also glides way further and floats a lot longer than the 52s and the 72s that we fly. But other than that, like, It wasn't too bad to get into. Like, I think it took me two flights to get checked out.
Oh,
and then,
wow.
Yeah, that was last year. And then this year, I just did two flights earlier this week before I took you up this morning.
Oh, thank goodness.
And yeah, honestly, not too bad. It's a different view inside to get lined up for the runway. But other than that, it was nothing too bad.
And I think the best part is you don't have to worry about pesky passengers in the back.
Exactly, yeah. Lovely two-seater.
There's no back.
No one's ringing the bell for service?
No one's reading the bell. So a lot of advantages to electric aircraft. What do you think, Madison?
I think in terms of introducing it into the flight school world, there is a considerable number of advantages. You know, of course, Belinda, being a recent grad, knows better than anyone just exactly what renting an aircraft to learn to fly costs. And a big chunk of that is avgas or fuel for your aircraft. So, you know, the immediate translation into no fuel is such a cost saver. But the other side of that that's going to save operators money is that an electric engine has way fewer components. It's a much simpler engine compared to a piston aircraft. And so on the maintenance side, there is a lot less costs as well. So the direct translation in terms of fuel to the students, and then the operators are able to save money on maintenance, just all around it is an easy button in terms of being able to be a more cost-effective aircraft in a fleet.
And there's no pesky fumes from the engine.
No fumes.
No 100 LOLED required. That's probably going to go away soon. Very clean airplane, very frugal. It certainly reminded me of my glider days at the York Soaring Association. So what do you see on the horizon for electric airplanes?
I think they'd be really good trainers, like even currently for our second Velis that we're going to use for commercial operations. Like, we want to use them for a part of the flight instructor ratings just to reduce cost for that rating, because it is a pricey rating to get. And like, we went up, we did stalls today in slow flight. Like, it was it's a good trainer to have, just to go out, do some couple maneuvers and then come back in.
Circuits.
Yeah, so... And it doesn't take long to charge at all either. So we just charge it, go up, come down, and then you can do it all again in like half an hour.
Yeah, and at 20 cents a kilowatt hour, as opposed to $3 a liter for 100 LOLED, I mean, the gap
difference is
massive. You know, simpler airplane to maintain, as you said, Madison, a lot less moving parts.
Yeah, the other thing too is while... you know, the future of battery operation is going to be developed as we go. But the next thing that's coming on terms of the Pipistrel side is sort of, Belinda mentioned, faster charging. So that's going to be for flight schools especially, you know, that change over time when the aircraft is on the ground in between students is hoping to cut that in half. So just like your 172, you still have to stop, get fuel. One student and instructor get out, they debrief, the next student and instructor come in. So hopefully with the faster charging, we can make that comparable to a fuel stop so that the aircraft is charged with, like, you know, less than a half an hour back up and running and able to, you know, provide the next lesson.
And then less maintenance required, so less taking the aircraft offline,
Exactly. Which
means more flight hours per year per aircraft.
And truly, you don't need a backseat in flight training. So
it is
a smaller airplane than a 172 or a 4-seat trainer, but realistically you don't need that. So you save a lot of efficiency there as well with the lighter aircraft.
Hopefully version 2 of the aircraft will...
Version 3
will have cockpit heaters to allow the aircraft to operate all four seasons in Canada.
Just put foot warmers
Listen,
I instructed on Cessna 150s, and trust me, when you pull the car heat, they don't have heat either.
That's true.
I was like, and Bose headsets are not heated, so I have a little frostbite on the tips of my ears.
Oh,
so that's
no.
For a 150, so buck up, Phil.
Well, I did all my flight training in 150s, but that was a long time ago when I was, you know, young and didn't really care about the cold so much. But I've gotten spoiled, sadly. But no, you're absolutely right. And I think the other point is that the smaller airframes allow more aircraft in the hangar, which safeguards the investment in the aircraft, extends winter operations. You don't have to be that first student at 7 a.m. scraping the ice and snow off the aircraft, rather pulling it out of that nice heated hangar and hop in. And no preheating required. That's like, it's a quite an amazing change in operational behavior of pilots, renters.
You will still need to preheat the battery, though.
Of course.
Yeah, so there is a preheater system that's included in the aircraft, and so you plug that in
right before
your first flight of the day in winter in operations. But otherwise, yes.
Off you go. So
you go.
What do you see on the horizon for electric aircraft?
You know, electric aircraft, generally, I think we are heading in the direction of replacing anything from flight training all the way up to regional airlines. That's sort of where we see the industry going right now. There's a massive investment in unmanned aerial vehicles. So our eVTOL, our vertical takeoff and landings, United Airlines just announced that they're going to partner with a company to do passenger transport in Manhattan. So you can get out of the city and to an airport using an unmanned, you know, eVTOL aircraft. And so there's a lot of investment heading in that direction for electric aircraft. Air Canada has deposits on regional aircraft to be able to do 200 up to 400 kilometer trips, and then floating that down into your Pipistrel lineup for flight training. This aircraft is the perfect trainer for, you know, replacing your circuit training, or you're in Waterloo Wellington, they're going to start testing it with flight training opportunities. And then that'll just continue to expand, you know, as battery operations grow. There's no reason that we won't be able to replace all of flight training with an electric option. If you're starting and finishing in the same spot where the charger is, hopefully we can get to the point where we're replacing all training aircraft.
Well, and I can see that the pandemic did a tiny favor for us, pushing up the sell price of legacy Cessna 172s, not modernly equipped with advanced avionics, you know, north of $150,000 for a medium TBO'd engine and legacy original radios, steam gauges. And now we're talking $300,000-$350,000 Canadian for a state-of-the-art composite aircraft with state-of-the-art avionics, clean aircraft. So that gap, that financial gap between, you know, 1970 vintage aircraft and brand new 2025 Pipistrels is starting to shorten.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of just hit the nail on the head there. I mean, you can have a 50-year-old aircraft or a brand new one. And the cost analysis breakdown in terms of your initial investment, of course, is going to be more on the new, but you have a 2-year warranty. You won't have as many issues with maintenance, so you're really saving quite a bit of money there on that side of things for, you know, easily 10 years before you have to start thinking about it, compared to your 1970s aircraft, where now parts are being limited, engine overhauls are 18-month wait times, and so on and so forth.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Well, this has just been an awesome chit-chat about the future of aviation. Any final thoughts?
I have nothing to say.
Go high, go fast.
Yes, that's the goal.
Again, thank you so much for being part of the Plane Talk podcast.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.